Hail and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, a Midgard Musings production. Join me, Jesse, your host, as we discuss random heathen-related topics and various other things in an attempt to find where, if any, heathen worldviews can be applied. You can support this podcast by clicking on the Linktree link in the description or show notes. You can also follow me on all of my social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and become a patron on Patreon. Join me every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central on all major podcast streaming platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many, many. If you wish to have your voice heard on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, you can dial in to 615-671-9832. Thank you all once again for listening to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Enjoy, and hail to you all.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Yes, 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 yes. Hail and hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Thanks for tuning in today on whatever day it is that you're catching this. Hopefully you're catching it the day that it premieres Thursday mornings. As you can tell by my appearance, I am not in my genuine getup as I normally am. I went out for dinner tonight with, it was my father's-in-law. I guess that's the possessive turn, right? It's his birthday. You can't say father-in-laws because there's not multiple laws. It's my father's-in-law birthday. So happy birthday, Ronnie. Love you. Of course, by the time this airs, it's the day after, but I'm recording this now coming back late at night from having dinner. And I, you know, didn't want to change or whatever. So this is what you see is what you got. And probably not going to be a terribly long episode today, which might be beneficial for the algorithms, for the all this kind of stuff. I don't know. Been noticing less engagement on the podcasts as of late. And I don't know if that's just because of YouTube or the Spotify platforms and the others, but I don't know. It is what it is. I like to get the engagement during the premieres, especially here on YouTube. So I don't know. I'll take a poll. I might take a poll. If you guys check out the YouTube channel and see if I need to start uploading these at a different time, so that way you can catch them when they're live, like when they premiere live. I'm up for that. I'm up for considering that. So we shall see. But today's episode is going to be focused on a topic of discussion that came in as a answer to a question that I posted earlier in the day. I didn't get it out to Twitter or YouTube, but I did post it on Facebook and Instagram, just asking, what should we ramble on about today? And it's going to be from my good friend and brother, J.M. Olufsen. And you guys should be familiar with him by now, as much as I've featured him on the podcast and talked about his work. And we have a dedicated playlist on the YouTube channel, the Midgard Musings YouTube channel, to his drumming and shamanic ritual drums, rattles, things like that. Kind of, it's like a music little playlist or whatever, but it's all his handmade items that are used in songs or drumming meditation mainly. I wouldn't really call it a song. It's more like drumming meditation. So check that out. It's a playlist on the Midgard Musings YouTube channel. And so he's the responder that we're going to be basing today's podcast, this week's episode on. But before we do get started, as we've started to reintroduce the tradition of burning incense, this one is going to be the mugwort. We're going to do mugwort today. So let's get that mamba jamba going. Hope you're all doing well. I appreciate all of you, all your kindness, all of your support. Yeah. There we go. It's still kind of off in the distance there. Smells good. Speaking of incense, my wife was going through a bunch of her things today, and she's got a lot of incense, a lot of different aromas, and I have acquired a bunch of ones that she had gotten over the years or recently, I guess, and she's like, oh, I don't really prefer these. I just got them because they were, you know, there was a good deal going. They were on sale. So I got like some, what have I got? I got pine. I got cedar. More clove. This the kind of stuff that I like. So we're going to have plenty of incense to burn for quite some time. And, you know, get a chance to enjoy all that. So shout out to my wife as well for being thoughtful and sharing in the spoils of esoteric shopping sprees that she or we have gone on. So like I said, today's episode, I kind of just reached out to people, made a post on Facebook and Instagram to ask, you know, what do you guys want to hear us ramble on about today? And the topic that we're going to talk about is the concepts of the inner and outer. JM's response to the question of what we should ramble on about, I'm just going to read his response verbatim, is the rings or levels of Inangar and Utangar. And if you're not familiar with those terms, we'll get into that in a minute. But it says the talk about the rings slash levels of Inangar and Utangar tribe life as a community dynamic versus the dynamic of greater or larger community. He says, I see a lot of young folk or those newer to this path and way of life confused and getting hurt feelings or believing. Confused and getting hurt feeling or believing kinship is a given or expected based solely on the one thing known to be shared or in common, that being Norse paganism. So I get where he's coming from. I know what he's talking about. And I've actually had a rather similar thing kind of take place. I talked about this a little bit last week, as a matter of fact, in terms of defining barriers, maintaining the sovereignty of hearth amongst tribe and all that sort of thing. And it's interesting that that's the response that JM gives, because I've since last week have had conversations with not just JM, but others and of a trusted status in my life to just, you know, talk through things like this. You know, when you get into sharing time and space and energy and, you know, whether it be ritual or whether it be, you know, just anything, just sharing time with people, sometimes the barriers that you had set at one time, you know, what you talk about, what you don't talk about, those lines kind of get muddled a bit, and the lines aren't quite so defined. The more you get to know some people, and lines get crossed, and there's an important thing I think to be reminded of is, you know, maintaining sovereignty of things that should be sovereign. For instance, the hearth, the home, people's lives in the home, and other things as well. So to what JM's response was about the various rings or levels, as he puts it, of the Inangar and Utangar concept. Now, so for a lot of people that are listening to this podcast and that have been following me for any length of time and have been heathen or pagan for any length of time, the concept of the inner yard and the outer yard, especially in the like Germanic heathen approach to things, should be a very familiar idea. The words themselves aren't exceptionally old that I can recall, but I don't even think they're found in any of the primary sources. but the meaning behind it, what the sense behind them all is, you know, Innengard, Innenjard, Utengard, Utengard, is the inner and outer yards. And what is within the yard is it's sacred. There's a degree of sacredness that exists within the yard, because again, it's that sovereign separation of what is outside of the yard. What is without is outside of our control, and it does not have our ruling, and what is within does. And so, but you know, the levels, the rings, what is Innengard? Who are those that fall within your Innengard? Are there different levels of Innengard? And I think I understand what, you know, JM is talking about and referring to. So we're going to kind of dive a little bit into that today. So some of the things that I think we should be reminded of is whenever we talk about tribe, kindreds, the terms kind of get, I guess, used in a way that would suggest that they're one and the same. A tribe is just a kindred is just a tribe, yada, yada, yada. And while I understand that, and I've come to realize they are a bit different. So like kindred is the, there's a lot of familial connotations that kin, right? Kin is family, kindred. It's like a family unit. It's very churchy in a way. The structure, I guess, could be the resembling that of what a church organization or church structure or church family might have, you know, where there are many people that assemble, that believe in the same thing, that go to the same thing, that do the same thing or very similar things, and have a commonality and have a kinship tie to one another, and that their group, their kindred, as it were, is based largely and grossly on familial bonds, right? And I think that when you start getting into that, then there has to be checks and balances set in place. There has to be things that one is to be worthed on, to decide or to determine, are they worthy of this title? Are they worthy of being kind of allowed into that, you know, inner yard? And that's it. It's like, it's, you're either in the kindred or you're without the kindred. And that's the line, that's the layer, that's the barrier. There's you're either in or you're out. So, and then I think with, when you come to like tribe is like multiple kindreds, multiple clans, multiple family units within a community, you know, or within a society, as it were. That it's, you know, you've got a tribe that is made up of multiple families, and just because this family is friends with that family doesn't mean that, you know, let's say we got, you know, Joe and Todd and Craig, you know, just because Joe and Todd's family are kin to each other doesn't necessarily mean that Craig is a part of that group or that kinship, as it were. But they are still part of that tribe, right? They are still members of the tribe, as it were. So there's an added layer or an added ring to that dynamic, to that group dynamic. So what we see a lot of times happening with the pagans that come into Norse heathenry is this, and it's probably mostly due to Christian baggage that they bring from a previous religion or another religion, maybe not just Christianity, but I'm going to use Christianity as the main one, because that's the one that a lot of folks come from into paganism, is this, you know, underlying feeling that, well, just because we all believe in the same gods and goddesses, that we are now inherently brethren, we are kin, we are family now. And that's not really the case, not in the societal structure of tribal heathenry, right? Just because we all believe in Odin or Thor and Freyr and Freya and, you know, Frigg and the other gods or minor, lesser or major gods of Germanic mythology and those pantheons. And just because we have that commonality does not make us kin. It doesn't make us family. It doesn't make us brethren. And just because of that, it does not mean that I am obligated to show you any sort of grand gestures of love, hospitality, or anything like that. And so what I think JM is referring to is how younger heathens, you know, the newbie heathens, folks that are coming into this thing kind of fresh, coming into it with that mindset, coming into it thinking that, well, I believe in Odin, I believe in Thor, I sacrifice to the Vaetir, I do this, I do that, I have runes, I wear a hammer, right? Just because those commonalities exist, that all of a sudden makes you part of the family, and you get hurt when stuff like that happens, because if there are, groups out there that are a bit too open with their placing of familial bonds on people, if there aren't enough checks and balances, if it's not guarded closely and protected, guard and protected, I think are the words that I'm thinking of here. If it's not done in that sort of way, then you run the risk of tainting and damaging and spoiling the well, the collective area where luck and all that settles into. And I've seen this, I've experienced stuff like this even recently, where again, like when you have families who have, started and based their tribal growth off of close familial bonds, the founding members of a tribe or of a this or of a kindred of whatever you want to call it is they are considered brothers amongst themselves, brothers, sisters. They have familial bonds because of things that they've done. They have worthed themselves to each other to the degree that they consider themselves kin. They may not be blood, so maybe it's more of like of a kith thing where you're adopted or worthed or oathed into that familial title or into that, familial place. But with those things comes a lot of responsibility, and if you're too open with that, and if you just kind of be like, oh yeah, you've read the Havamal and you all this kind of stuff about the gods, you know all these things about the gods, you've read XYZ sagas, you've done all this academic work, whatever, you're brother to me now, you run the risk of getting hurt. And this also is a bit rampant with regards to the online heathenry, online community. There's a false sense, and there has been a false sense of kinship that exists in a lot of these Facebook groups and things where people are always just tossing out the name, brother, sister, this and that. I get called, I get called brother a lot by people who I don't consider my brother. And I know it's out of, respect. I know it's out of adoration. I know it's out of, it's all in good intent. And it doesn't hurt my feelings to be called that. Just don't expect me to reciprocate in that way. Because I don't know you like that. And we haven't gotten down like that, man. Like we haven't done things enough with each other for us to be, or for me to consider you worthy of that title. It's nothing against you personally. It's just that we haven't done those things enough to warrant it. Right. So, the layers, the rings, the Innengard, Utengard is inner yard, outer yard. It's conceptual. And it's very prominent in heathen worldviews, where what is within is sacred and what is without is wild. It is uncontrollable. It's chaotic. And there's distance in Utengard outside of the yard, outside of the circle, outside of your inner circle, that the further you get away from it, the worse it gets, the more dangerous it becomes. I've compared it to, you can be friends with somebody, they can be close to you. They can be, you know, good people, you know, acquaintances, friends, whatever. But they're not inner. They're not inner guard. You wouldn't drop what you're doing on a dime to go help them. You know, if the phone rings in the middle of the night, you're not going to answer it. If they send you a message on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and they ask you a question, you know, you might wait till the next day to respond or whatever. Whereas with those that are within, you know, and in your inner yard and in guard, those are the types of people that you would be much more inclined to shift and pivot to help them when they need it, or answer their questions or respond to their messages, you know, more timely, as soon as you see them. And then going back into like the outer yard or the outer area, you know, there's those that are so far outside of that outer yard that are not even your friends. They have done things to betray trust and betray and break frith. And they have in turn become beyond what's outer, and they have become neath. They have become an outlaw. They are, you know, you see them, you know, you wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire, sort of thing. You know, so there's those layers. There's those layers of what is without, and there's also those layers that are within. To kind of come back to that, you know, just because you're within that inner yard doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to know and should know everything about that person's yard. I said before, you know, I've had that experience myself, where the foundation of my tribe was built and has been built so strongly on kinship ties and familial type things that, you know, you overshare, and sometimes you get to knowing too much about a person. And even though they are your kin, even though you love them as though they were your blood, you got to be careful with that, because it can definitely impact the growth of a tribe as it were, because again, the tribe is not only what is within that one person's hut, that one person's family, that one person's roof tree. And the roof tree might have, you know, a canopy that branches and extends out beyond just the immediate hut or the immediate home. Like for us, you know, like my roof tree is myself, my wife, and her parents, you know, but the canopy extends beyond that a bit into, you know, some of my tribesmen right now. So, but not all, not all of them. And not to the same degree. So, and as the tribe grows and as things become more and more established, and organically builds out from where it has started, it is very important to maintain that approach, I feel, because again, if you just get to know a bit too much about everybody and their home life and it taints the sovereignty of the hearth. So for those that are, you know, newbie heathens that are coming into this and feeling as though they are, you know, family to people, be very careful, first of all, with going around and just calling people titles of kinship. You know, just because you join a Facebook group, just because you join a Discord server, just because you become part of some sort of online forum where there are other folks that say, you know, hail the gods and wear hammers and can say a few things from the Havamal in Old Norse or whatever commonalities that you have, just because that exists and just because that's there does not entitle them to any titles of kinship, nor does it entitle you to be referred to as in titles of kinship. It doesn't. Now, you know, some people might, you know, kind of look at this and go, well, oh, you know, hold on a minute, you know, because we're all brothers and we're all kin under the same, you know, like animism, you know, like we're all brothers of the earth, we're all children of the earth, you know. And I get that, in the sense that, you know, we all kind of have that primal connection to the land and how we connect with the spirits around us, the Vaytir, the whites that share space with us in the profane. But what, you know, what I'm specifically talking about is, you know, societal structure, the way that we grow as heathens at the grassroots level. You know, just because, you know, we got two arms and two legs and, you know, love the sagas and read the Havamal again, all that stuff does not entitle anybody to a title of that kinship. So, you know, for those that are new, going into your heathenry and going into your pagan journeys, it's not to say that, you know, and again, it's one of those things where I sit back and I go, well, I'm not the one to tell you how to heathen. Look, if you feel comfortable with calling somebody that or they're calling you that and you want to reciprocate, that's up to you, man. Like, that's your hall, your call. It's your life. You do what you want to do. And I always say, you know, your hall, your call, not my hall, not my call. That is not a original quote by myself. That is a 100% Eric Shervin, the word weaver over at the Raven's Call. That is 100% his, we call it mantra, I guess. That's his phrase. So, but it means it's everything about that is simple. It's to the point, but it means exactly what it says. It's, you know, not my prom, not my dance, not my hall, not my call, you know, not my potatoes, not my gravy. I don't know. Getting a little bit silly with it, but the point is if it's, that's what you want to do, then boo-boo, you do you. The same time, take it from somebody who's not the oldest person, you know, I'm not the leading authority on anything. I'm not a, you know, awesome Pope type. I'm not the, you know, person to tell you how to heathen, how you want to heathen, or tell you how to pagan, how you want a pagan. But I'm somebody who's done something for enough length of the time that I've got and am getting more experience, and I have a valid thing to say about this. And if I've seen, you know, and if I've experienced things in a certain way, then I want to share that, and I want to expound on this, and I want to edify. That is the word I was looking for. I want to edify you and take what I say and just try it out and see, right? Okay, well, I'm going to go back into this Facebook group tomorrow, and instead of saying hail and good morning, brothers and sisters of Midgard, you know, maybe not. Maybe I have a different view on things now. Maybe I have a different approach on things. Maybe I have a clearer view on things. Because again, once you start opening yourself up to this, I'm your brother, you're my sister, let's all be one big happy pagan family kind of thing, there's this sense of entitlement. There's almost an expectation that's being set. And you go, well, I can't believe that, you know, they unfriended me. I can't believe they said this about this, or I can't believe they believe, you know, this particular way. They were my brother. No, they weren't, you know, not unless they've done enough and worked themselves through it. You know, I'll just, you know, go out here and use examples. I've known, let's go back to, you know, kind of where I started with my heathenry. I've known my tribal brothers for probably the biggest part of 6 going on 7 years. But we didn't just start calling each other brother off the rip. You know what I mean? Like, we had to know. I think I the first time I started calling Dingo brother was probably a good year or more into our friendship. You know what I mean? And it wasn't even heathenry that brought us together. It was the local music scene. He, you know, he played in a band. I was at a show. I dug his stuff. You know, we started talking about that, found commonalities with the kinds of music that we liked, the kind of culture that we got into, you know, and then next thing you know, it's, oh, I see he's wearing a hammer, and he noticed I was wearing mine. And, you know, we start talking about runes and the lore and the gods and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, the more we became friends, we established that first, we were friends. And then the more we hung out and the more we started actually engaging in things of worth with each other, you know, being there at each other's side, partaking in ritual together, helping each other out, you know, in various ways, things that worth ourselves to each other, to comfortably start calling each other brother. And it was a thing that we earned amongst ourselves, you know. think we've even talked about this when he's been on this podcast before, about how, you know, that title of kinship didn't just come right off of the rip. Now let's compare the same thing where I talk about him and have talked about him on almost every podcast, Eric Shervin, right? Eric is another heathen who I've learned a lot from, and who I've known and have had contact with now for as long as I've been doing this Midgard Musings thing. Not the podcast alone, but Midgard Musings as a brand, as a whole. When I started this, you know, I've known Eric since then. So that's what now, four or five years going on, close to something like that. We've never met in person. We've had a lot of good long conversations. I have his number. He has mine. You know, we don't overshare with each other on things, but I know that I can talk to him about stuff that I have questions about because he has experience where I don't. And he, in turn, meets me at a level where he is comfortable with sharing certain things with me, not sharing perhaps tribal business, which would be out of place for him to do so. His tribe, Hridgar, is his business and not mine. And we are not brothers. You know what I mean? We have not tied oaths or tied weird in any way. We have not made any sort of kinship ties. We've not met in person. We've talked over the phone a lot, chatted over, you know, social media, and have even collaborated on videos. He's been on Midgard Musings before. He hasn't necessarily been on the podcast. He's been on like some of these AMA type things that I've done on the Midgard Musings YouTube channel. But we share a lot of common things, and yet in all the years that we've known each other, I would not feel comfortable calling him brother, nor would he feel comfortable calling me his brother. That I know. And it's no disrespect to each other, but we know who we are to each other. We are friends. That much I can say we are friends. And I have gone so far as to say we're good friends, you know. And though the miles are what they are, you know, he's in Texas, I'm in Tennessee. We've established enough of a bond, as it were, over the distance, over the ways that we've been able to communicate. We've established enough of a bond that we can comfortably say that we are friends of each other, and that we like the cuts of each other's jib, and all this kind of stuff. But we're not brothers. And you know, somebody who, you know, maybe let's say they have a meaningful conversation with somebody, they're a new heathen, and they talk to somebody who's got, you know, years of experience under their belt, and they find what that person says to be of great value, you know, and they put that value, that, you know, they find that person to be so valuable that they just are stricken with so much adoration that they put that title on them. Thank you so much, brother. Brother, it means so much. Thanks a lot, brother. And again, I get this a lot from different people who I don't reciprocate in that way. And it's no slight to them. There's no, you know, I don't feel disrespected. It doesn't hurt my feelings. This never is intended to be like, hey guys, by the way, stop doing that. Like, no, it's fine. Like it doesn't bother me. But at the same time, don't get upset or don't think it's strange if I don't be like, yeah, appreciate you too, brother. Right. You know, I don't know. Like I've done enough of this for enough of a length of time where that's something that means a lot to me. If I'm going to call you brother, I'm going to mean it. And it's going to be because we have done something of worth together. You have worthed yourself to me that you are worthy of that title. And, you know, if I accept the fact that you call that to me, then it is, I feel honored because I feel that you have then deemed it, that I've been worthy to be called that. I have worth myself to you. So we talk a bit about, in heathenry, this gifting exchange, the gifting cycle, reciprocation. It's not an uncommon theme in many other cultures, not just, you know, paganism, but the gifting exchange, the exchange is of weird, the exchange of luck, the exchange of gifts, the exchange of things, you know, not physical things per se, not material things, but time, energy, whatever, just, you know, the constant exchange that takes place. That can be a powerful thing. That can really set a very powerful tone. And depending on the things that you're exchanging with somebody, that can really put, like I say, you know, set that worth with them or with you. So as you go into this, like for all these new heathens, maybe even for those that have been around for a little while and just haven't really thought about this, doing their heathen stuff or doing their pagan stuff, right? Maybe perhaps think about it now and realize, you know, how much am I putting into this, you know, how much worth is left in such a sacred thing, in such a, you know, it could just be, oh, it's a simple name, right? That's just a title. Oh, it's okay, man. I call everybody brother. It's no big deal. Well, should it be? Shouldn't it be? I mean, like, shouldn't it be a big deal? Shouldn't you be calling somebody who means the world to you your brother rather than just every Tom, Dick, and Harry that walks across your path, you know, brother, sister, whatever you, you know, whatever title of family that you want to use, it should mean something. It should carry weight, and it does for me, you know. So the rings, the layers, Innengard, Utengard, you know, you will have a group, you will have an inner circle of people who you are entrusted to and who trust you. And then you're going to have people outside of that that are cool, they're all right, you know, no harm, no foul, they haven't done you any wrong, and so far as you know, they're pretty cool cats, but they are not part of your inner circle. They're part of maybe the tribe, you know, maybe another part of another family that's, you know, yeah, they're pretty cool, I like the way they do things over there, they keep a nice house, they cook good food, they are well-mannered, you know, whatever, but they're not a part of your inner circle. They're part of your tribe, they're just not a part of that inner garden, you know. And then you've got the layer that goes beyond that, outside of that. It's not Innengard, it's not tribe, it's outside. It's, you know, that's a stranger, that's a traveler that I don't know. And that's probably one of the other things too that I think gets maybe lost or mixed up in this, is that, you know, people that come into heathenry, they look at things like the nine noble virtues, right? I've talked a bit about this. It's been a while since I've gone down that road. Talked about, you know, one of the nine noble virtues is I think it's hospitality, right? And they think that in order to be a good pagan, in order to live up to the nine noble virtues, you have to be hospitable. And for some reason, being hospitable means that you open up your home to any and everybody that may need it. Doesn't matter if you know them, if they're a stranger along the way, you know, because they read through the Havamal and then they see, wow, you know, hospitality is a dominating theme. Especially in the first, you know, section of the Havamal, the first however many dozen stanzas, it's almost all about hospitality and being a good guest and how to be a good host and what to look for and this and that, right? I mean, times are different now, man. There's absolutely no way that I would, in my good conscience, open up my home to just anybody and everybody that needs it. Get a message on some rando from Facebook and going, hey, man, I'm traveling through. Could you give me your address? I need a place to stay. I don't know you. And just because you wear a hammer and I think you're cool and you got, you know, whatever, I give you a few hotels around there that I'd recommend, you know what I'm saying? You need a ride, there's Uber, you know, Lyft, whatever. I'm not going to drop what I'm doing. I'm not going to put my inner guard, my inner hearth, my home, my roof tree at risk for just some average person, just some random person that, you know, has a Thor's hammer on their profile picture or says, you know, hail Odin or this or that. The whole thing for me, and this is something that I've said it for a long time, but I've really gotten to a point where I live it and I feel it, is that, you know, hearth above all. The tribe and all that is great. You know, and that's something to work towards, but best have your hearth life in order, have your home in order, be super protective, be the one that guards and safeguards and protects your home and your roof tree, you know? And that means, you know, from everybody and anybody. Keep it sovereign, because it is. And the only person that has the right to run your show and run your hall is you. And again, you know, there is no, you are not entitled to have a home opened up to you by somebody else just because you share a common belief, a seemingly common belief, you know. Now I have had people open up their homes to me who I didn't know very well. Hey man, you're coming through. You've always got a place to stay here, man. You've always got a roof over your head. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's very kind. It's a kind gesture, but you don't know me. You don't know me and I don't know you. So, you know, first of all, how are you protecting your hearth by letting someone like me, who, you know, granted, I may appear a certain way, I may, you know, be very genuine in the way that I am, but you don't really know me. You haven't taken the time to know me, and I haven't definitely taken the time to know you. So how are you protecting your hearth by letting someone you barely know into the sovereignty and the sanctuary of your home? You know, what kind of a good steward are you? What kind of a good protector are you to do such a thing? And then what kind of person would I be just to, you know, walk into somebody's home that I've never been in? I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what I'm walking into. Part of what the Havamal says too, you know, that the guest should look both ways when you're coming in, because you don't never know where there's going to be an attack. You never know when something's going to come out and get you, whatever, right? So it's kind of it's not a exact quote, but that's the theme of it. That's the spirit behind it, you know? Now, you know, for those that have opened up their homes to me and my wife, and who we have in return opened our homes to, it has been done because there has been enough knowledge and character challenge, shared worth, as it were, between us, that we know that where we're going is a wholesome place, and the people who have opened up their homes know enough of us to know that we are wholesome, or I am wholesome enough to be worthy to be counted as you know, as guests within the sanctuary of their home. Times are, you know, it's a lot different now, guys, than it was in, you know, the Viking age and the Iron Age and of Scandinavia and all these things, where, you know, you just had random people coming and going, and, you know, they didn't have hotels, they didn't have inns at every turn and every corner. You might be going a whole day's journey before you even saw a town, and you needed a place to lay your head, some shelter, and you had a hut that you came across, and it was just some, you know, nomadic person, or just some random person not living in the hearth, in the heath, the heathens, as they were, right? Ain't I like that anymore, man? So some of that type stuff, right? I think that's a good thing to be reminded of and to be vigilant of, you know. Understand the layers. Just because you have people that are a part of your tribe doesn't mean that they are all in the guard, right? Tribe is tribe. Hearth is hearth, and hearth is sovereign. Not everybody in your tribe, not everybody in the tribe should have the, you know, eyes into the home, as it were, or be a part of the sanctuary of your roof tree. And outside of that roof tree and outside of the Inengard, you still have your tribe. You still have people that will be there at your back. You'll still have people that will, you know, come to your aid if you need it. So there you go. There's my kind of little rundown, breakdown, as it were. What's a rundown? Hey, Jim, where's the rundown? Yeah, about that rundown. What's a rundown? It's an Office reference, the Office reference, in case you hadn't noticed. But yeah, so there you guys go. That's the topic of this week's discussion. Next week, I think we're going to take another suggestion pop up from another. Where is it? Yeah, somebody else on the Facebook questions was wanting to know establishing a kindred, rambling on talking about establishing a kindred. So let's talk about that next week on the next Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. As always, thank you to my chieftain and chiefess patrons. It'll be Janet King, Jeffrey Wright, and M. Darby. I believe that is, what is it? Well, whoever you are, it's all of you. M. Darby, Adam, I think it is, and all of them, not just the chieftain and chiefess. The chieftain and chiefess patrons have gotten their, trying to keep track of all my perks, all of the perks that you guys are a part of, but you guys got your rune draws for the month, rune pulls for the month. Yes, all the patrons on Patreon, my Jarls and chieftain patrons on Patreon, huge shout out to you. Thank you for your ongoing and monthly support. And if you are listening and watching the Random Heathens Rambling podcast and you're wanting to Random Heathen Ramblings podcast and you're wanting to get part of that picture too, you want to become a patron on Patreon, click the Linktree link that's annotated either in the show notes of this podcast or the description of the video. All the links are there, the Patreon links, the YouTube channel, the ways that you follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that fun stuff. Check it out. Oh, merchandise too. I hardly ever talk about merchandise. That's there. So yeah, check it out. See what fits you. Appreciate you guys tuning in today. If you do like this, please upvote it, engage in any sort of way that the platform allows you to. YouTube folks, please like the video, share it, comment in the description area. And everybody else, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever, share it around, upvote it, engage with the algorithms. So that way they know that this stuff is engaging and fun for people. So once again, thank you all so much for tuning into this week's episode. I'll look forward to hearing from you and seeing you guys next week. And until then, may the gods continue to notice you and may your ancestors always smile upon you.